Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Well, hello there. My name is Mutt Hatteras. It's M-U-T-T, Mutt. I know what it rhymes with. I'm a cowboy from the past. In the late 1800s, where I come from, it is of paramount importance to be a good shot. That's a skill I never much acquired because of the fact that I grew up without a father. He left us when I was about 2 years old. I never got a lot of tutelage from him. I was raised by my mother and 14 sisters, so I never really was a maestro with a six shooter. That was until I had my first sip of Mangria. Ever since that rosé touched my lips, my shot's been as sharp as a needle in a grasshopper's hay bale. You know what I mean? Anyways, I just want to say thank you to Adam Carolla and to Mangria. I can't appreciate it enough from all y'all. Thank you.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code COWBOY for 20% off orders of three or more bottles. Welcome back to the Toolbox with a track from NXS called Not Enough Time. But you know what there's not enough of? It's bands with initials in their names. I mean, there's no FX, NWA, REM, UB40, UFO, REO Speedwagon, U2, AFI, MGMT, ELO. Hell, maybe there are enough. Hey, don't forget to vote. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bolt Bryan on sound effects, Dennis Miller calls in for the Rotten Tomatoes game, and Lynette Carolla introduces the new Corolla Christmas Crate. And now, this weekend he set his clock back to 1958, when dudes were still dudes. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I just care.
Yeah.
I care.
One of my favorites on the show today, Dennis Miller.
Oh, I didn't see you going that way.
Lynette's coming in. We'll talk to her in a couple of few. Let's see. I got stuff. All right. I'll be quick because we got to play some Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Felix Gray at felixgrayglasses.com/Adam. Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. 23andMe. Go to 23andMe.com/Adam. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Confusion. We had some donut confusion.
Now, I was all donut talk upon walking into the studio a couple days ago.
Yeah. And I want to keep my eye on the prize. Gabe brought in donuts.
That was his first mistake.
And Gabe brought in Halloween donuts. And my thing with donuts, pastries, candy, sacks, cars, the less novelty, the better. The reason I love race cars and I hate mid-80s Mustangs and Pontiacs is because everything on a race car works, and you take a look at a mid-80s Mustang, and it has a plastic fake hood scoop right in the middle of the hood. And you go, and then you open the hood up, and you look underneath it, and you see there's no opening.
Yeah.
It's literally, we're just going to add a little weight, we're going to screw up the aerodynamics, and you shall get nothing. It's a performance car.
Whether it's cars, or donuts, or iced tea, for you, and I think for a lot of people, it's... The reason I like this thing is because it's this thing.
Yeah.
Don't keep adding things to this thing and make it not that thing.
It's when nachos jumped the shark.
Great example. I like nachos because they're nachos.
Right, but we never stopped piling stuff on, and they literally were crushed by their own weight. Like, they literally, the nachos are like, I can't hold any more shit on top. I know you guys have there was a race for space in the 60s. Now there's a race for the waistband.
Wow.
We're seeing who can get fatter faster. And it's like, nachos, fattening enough? Oh, contraire. We shall add more. So I don't like it. But the thing about race cars is every duct, every opening, everything all works or wouldn't be there.
Functional.
Yes. And when you look at Mustangs, like I hate to pick on Ford, but Mustang, Pontiacs, the worst. You see they have fake brake cooling ducts in the rear fenders. It's race inspired, and race cars, you want to cool
aesthetic.
The rear brakes. But this is a plastic piece that's stuck onto a piece of sheet metal. It's on a fender. It's
like a kid's car, like a toy car.
Yeah, it'd be like if you, hey, I'm going to make a bathroom. What's this? Well, this is where we take the foam toilet paper. It's white. It looks like toilet paper. We stick it onto a roller on the wall.
Where it would go?
It just spins around. No, you can't wipe your ass. Well, you could break it off, I guess, and wipe your ass.
But do you have any toilet paper?
We got this one. It looks like toilet paper. Like, why would you do that? Why would you? So, I feel the same way about food. I'm nuts with it. And donuts. I love a donut, but when you start marking it up with, and for some reason, the vibrant colors anger me. I just feel like there's just more fake whatever going in your liver.
My beloved sushi, even now with the, you got the Philly roll with the cream cheese.
Yeah. Like,
sushi Rito is the big thing now.
Doused with all the goo.
Yes,
they're squirting
mayo. Yes.
They're just squirting corn syrup with the caramel color all over the top of it.
Beautiful, pristine raw fish. Covered
Nothing.
We're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And yes, we went and had sushi last week. I ordered
Philly roll.
I ordered a tempura, whatever, shrimp roll, and I forgot to say, don't drown it in the goo. And they just it flies in the face of sushi.
Yes, it does.
What if you do enjoy sushi and do in fact enjoy sushi, you're not looking for caramel goo all over the top. But anyway, everything is ruined by fat people and dumb people or dumb people trying to get fatter. Anyway.
Goo on the side.
Gabe brought in the donuts. And God bless him.
Trying to be nice. Not trying to punk you.
But this is a freak show when you pop the top. I mean, it's Caltrans orange and greens and yellows, and it's a vibrant cornucopia.
An unpleasant purple.
Of colors, but it's a Halloween-themed donut. Now,
one step
Gabe,
up with
Gabe
the guacamole.
Has now entered the studio, and look, A for effort, man. I like where your head's at. I've gotten this before. Now,
what is that caviar-looking mess on the top?
Gabe and I, it's just
pate,
it's basic donuts with just goo all over the top. But it's fine. It's good. It's Halloween based. it's a novelty. I like it. It makes me. It's a first world problem. It's why America's number one, because we can afford to ruin our own food. Okay. Now, I then said to Gabe, and here's really where we need to, where I'm looking for clarity.
Oh.
I don't need agreement. I need clarity.
Okay.
I just need clarity. And I think I may have taken steps in this direction. Gabe and I stood over the donuts, and I said, are those raised donuts or cake donuts? And
he said, that was a long discussion, by the way, before the show. If people would know the difference, you know what I mean, between the description.
I don't know, he said. Yeah. And I said, well,
isn't that better than a yes? And then being wrong.
No, well, there's eight rounds of that. Oh, okay. He said.
He's Mexican.
I don't know what cake is or raises. I think they're raised or something. And I said, well, let me see. And then we tore one apart, and you could see the stratas. You could see
like a phyllo dough almost.
It's weird, this one, because it was compact. It was sort of cake and raised. So this wasn't an easy one to call. And then I said, nah, I think these are raised, technically.
Oh, yeah. Very
well, you can tell raised. They're not cake from the outside, yeah, I feel like.
I do. And then I said, So do you know the difference? And then Gabe said, yes, I brought cake donuts.
Oh, God.
And then I said, no, cake are like cake, and then raised are like raised, and then
very clear.
I don't know how to do it. Raised are puffy. Raised are puffy, and cake looks more like, has a consistency of the inside of a cake, and then these are puffy and they have layers to it.
When you think of a glazed donut,
yeah, and a buttermilk donut that you would dip in coffee,
yeah, like an old fashioned. Yeah.
To be
style.
Fair, these were kind of like in between,
a little in between, yeah, but I'd made my mark. I'd made my call.
Yeah, just cake and everything else.
And then at a certain point, I said, "So let's be clear. What kind of donuts did you bring?" And then he said, "Cake." Uh-huh. And then I said, "Which one do you think cake is?" And he said, "The puffy one." Now here's the problem. Can I say this? If there's ever a situation, then we did seven more rounds, and I think at some point I said, all right, are we straight? Which one is the cake donut versus the raised donut? And he said, the cake donut is the poofy one with air in it. Nope. And that, by the way, if this ever happens to you, it's time. It's gut check time.
Yeah.
When a voice comes from another room and yells, Jesus Christ! Which was Gary, who just, he'd had enough. He couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take this amount of going around with Gabe on these donuts. And he just yelled, Jesus Christ, Gabe! And he came storming out of the conference room. But look, whether it's a discussion with your wife and another table goes, oh, enough already. Like, whatever it is, if there's an outside source yelling at you, you've jumped the shark. Yeah, you've done too much. It's too much. Yeah. It's gut check time with the donuts. So Gary came out and he said, look, Gabe, a cake donut, you break in half. It just breaks in half. A raised donut, you have to tear. You have to tear it. It's chewy. It's chewy. That's the difference. That's the difference. You got it? And then he slammed the door and he went back in his room.
I said good day.
That was a good description.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I just got confused because we did so many laps of it.
I know.
I didn't even know what I didn't even know what I brought in. I was like, I don't even know what this is anymore.
Have some tacos?
Like, lollipops?
You brought trouble, my friend. Now, I then said, well, look, this whole cake and raise thing, it's confusing. Obviously, it's confusing to most Americans. And
yes, the obvious. Well, the names are not obvious differentiators.
Right, right. In which case, I then said, we need different names. Cake and raised is not working for people. It works for me, but I also know what a throwout bearing is and a solenoid is. And I know it. That's my field of expertise is specifics. But
carpentry
anyway.
And donuts.
So, I then said to Max Zapata on the phone the next day, I said, put it out there, put a poll out there. I want to know who likes which one. But more importantly, we need to come up with a better name. Mm-hmm. So he put Dylan on speaker, and I walked Phil, and I walked for about a mile, and we discussed what would be a name. And they came up with Zero Burgers, and I came up with For the Raised, I said, let's call that a pillow. We'll call the raised a pillow. You think it's a five or maybe a six. You walk your dog for an hour and do better than
and
pillow.
It's
hard. It's hard. So then I said, all right, we're going to go with pillow for the raised. We need a name for cake. So if somebody goes on a run, you go, get me six pillows and get me six whatever, and they're not confused. Right. Everyone will know what it is. It's going to take a little work, but we can get there. So then I said to Max Zapata, all right, you and Dylan have an hour. We got pillow. Now give me a good one for cake. And then I showed up for the show, and Max Zapata, you said what to me?
I said, so we got sponge and blank. We basically,
I said, well, which one's sponge?
Yeah. And we said, that's the same one as pillow. Yeah. So we can't, cause we had a line going down the whiteboard. We had pillow on the left and we had blanks on the right. And then Dylan says, I got another one.
Stuck in the middle with you.
And I got another one for the Rays, sponge. And I kind of liked that better than pillow.
Right.
And then, I didn't get it.
And then it just kind of confused everybody. Yeah. So I told Adam that
it
confused everybody.
Bounced it off Dawson.
I said sponge would be good for cake, but not pillow.
All right,
pillow.
So you, all right, or whatever. And then I said, well, go ask him pillow, if that makes sense.
That did happen.
And then it made sense.
Yeah, it made sense.
And then I said, great job and doing a horrible job, because I said, we have one locked off. Please work on the other. And instead, he replaced my 7 with a 3 and had no other offerings.
It was the worst thing I could have done.
I was explaining to him on the way in, and that's the opposite of work. Don't do the opposite of what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was sitting at my desk. Anyway, I talked to Lynette about this in the kitchen, and she said, what do you guys talk about? And I said, this, nothing. We talk about nothing. That's the point. And we were sitting, I was sitting at my desk this morning, still a little disappointed, not only in the performance of Dylan and Max Zapata, but my performance. I wasn't able to come up with it, and I'm looking for something that's a little denser, not as fluffy. The pillow, I feel, is good. It's fluffy. It's fluffy.
Pillow and mattress.
I thought about, we thought about mattress.
Don't dismiss it like that.
No.
If you said get me 4 pillows and 4 mattresses.
It was discussed. It was discussed.
It's quite awesome.
2 Tempur-Pedics.
I'm going to throw one out, and you may go, I shall look down my nose at this offering, but you're going to have to beat it. Mm-hmm. And I put that out to Dylan and anyone listening. And this is what I got. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I have the shape, the size, density. Density needs to be implied. And always good alliteration. Don't know why. Pillows for the raised and pucks.
Wow.
For the cake. Pillows and pucks. That's all I got. I can do no better. Now, you guys can type in and chime in and tweet in and better than pillows and pucks, but right now I got pillows and pucks.
Way better than our sponge result. I can't think of a better one. I think that's perfect.
The only one, maybe an alternative. Pucks is not bad. I would say pillows and tires, just because very obviously.
I thought about it, but tires are hollow.
Their
shape is unmistakable.
Yeah,
but I guess they're all well, so raised. Is, yeah, no,
I think
we're sort of looking at 6 solid ones.
It can't have air. It can't be hollow. Yeah. I was thinking, of a tire. I was thinking of a car tire and a shopping cart wheel. You know what I mean? Like one is solid, one has air. Everything went around. I'm now at pillows and pucks. Porcelain Punisher.
What about coffee donuts and candy donuts?
Oh.
We all know the coffee donut, that's pretty distinct. And then the candy donut, those are usually the sweeter donuts anyway.
Yeah,
it's all right, but I still feel that people will dunk anything
Dawson's
or whatever.
Dawson's terrible, but I think he's terrible.
I think
they're all coffee donuts.
He told me there's a zero chance of that one being accepted. All right.
I think the problem with the cake alternative is that cake makes sense. It is a cake density donut. That is what cake looks like and feels like and tastes like and everything.
All right.
Actually, Dawson came up with a better one. Instead of cake, say muffin style donut, because that's more of a muffin.
But
right.
Wants
but
a
when
muffin
people
donut.
Show up with a baker's dozen of banana muffins and they come back, dude, you said muffin.
You said muffin donuts.
You said muffin, because that's the way we work. We just hear a word. All right.
Although, business idea, I do like the Porcelain Punisher's pillows and pucks.
Well, you know,
next podcast.
How about this is way off probably, but you know, like a knife sharpening block,
butcher block, or that kind of block.
Yeah, that could be the cake, and then a sponge could be the Yeah.
You just said sponge.
Too much. All right, you said sponge.
I know, listen, we got pillows
and pucks. Thanks for everything, Gabe.
I like pillows and pucks.
Beat pillows and pucks. That's
you can't.
Our
that's
job.
As good as it can.
No, it's not to ruminate aloud into a microphone. It's to go home, get out that steno pad, and get to the business of rebuilding this nation with pillows and pucks. All right, Gabe.
Gabe's
thank you
studio.
Very much for
ruining everybody.
Bringing that in. Yeah. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for the donuts, buddy.
Yes. All right, and again, if anyone ever leaves an office or walks over from another table or basically leaves their station and comes to yell at you and the person you're talking to, it's gone on too long, and someone is way too wrong.
When a third party injects themselves.
Long and long.
Interjects themselves.
I've had it happen. I've had it happen in the workplace. I've had it happen at a New York eatery at a table where I argued with a guy for 35 minutes, and at some point, a guy from the table next to us just yelled at Danny Two Sheets, "Will you shut up? Will you please shut up? Please, I can't enjoy my meal. He doesn't want to do this thing. Yep. Just shut up." Like it was like the it was the greatest moment
that's
in my
so
adult
good.
Life. All right, let's see. We got. Let me do Felix Gray, and then we'll bring. We'll play a little. Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Dennis is get Dennis on the line. Yeah. Felix Gray, the average American blasts their eyes with screens 11 hours a day. Computer work, checking Facebook and Twitter. Cannot stop looking at the screens, but you can protect your eyes with a pair of Felix Gray glasses. I'm wearing them right now. They filter out 90% of the high-energy blue light and eliminate the glare coming off those screens. I'm looking at my screen right now wearing the Felix Grays. Felix Gray glasses aren't those weird computer glasses you've seen before. No yellow lens tint. They're handcrafted from premium Italian acetate, I think it would be pronounced. Mm-hmm. So you will not look nerdy. Available in non-prescription and prescription readers. Oh, that's nice. And with free shipping and free returns, there's nothing to lose. Felix Gray. How about it, Dawson?
Don't go another day looking at screens without the help of some Felix Grays. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/Adam to protect your peepers today. That's felixgrayglasses.com/Adam. felixgrayglasses.com/Adam.
All right. Excited to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Dennis Miller is on the line. Dennis? Let's see. Did I get him online?
There he makes on Carpenter's The Fog and have Dawson play the Adrian Barbeau part. He's got such good voice, man. Wouldn't he be perfect for that?
The Fog, God, I remember I'd never been more in love with Adrian Barbeau. I mean, that was the only good. My mom, we would watch Maud every. That's how bad my childhood was. I grew up with B. Arthur, and my mom and I would watch Maud. I think my mom, I didn't think she liked it because it was funny. I think she was like, here's someone who's less attractive than I am.
Oh, wow.
And I will feast on them for a while. And then Adrian Barbeau would come down the stairs in a tight sweater, and it was game on for a 9-year-old Ace man.
Yeah, it was the opposite of Maud.
Yes, it was weird.
Odd.
How can we make B. Arthur less attractive? It was a crazy sitcom. Her husband was so henpecked, and if anyone watches reruns of Maud, she just screams at her husband like all day long. But a good theme song, one of those theme songs that had the all-black sassy background singers and just sort of encapsulated the whole thing. I mean, I hope they played it at her funeral.
Do you remember the Family Guy where they do the Maud theme song and it goes on for like 7 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
And they never get to, and then there's Maud.
Dennis has a one-hour special, by the way. Dennis Miller, Fake News, Real Jokes, and it's available on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play, and it'll be out this coming Tuesday. So let's stay poised for that. And the Dennis Miller Option podcast as well. Dennis, you ready to play the game?
Always ready, Ace. I believe I'm coming off a hot victory last week, feeling my oats. So no doubt I'll have the sophomore jinx and end up off the podium again today. But let's go.
All right, let's do it.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
it's time to play.
Not since the Maud theme song has a theme song been so on point. All right, Dawson, what is the theme?
Well, in a little bit, we're going to be joined by Lynette Carolla. And since today's podcast is featuring a powerhouse Hollywood couple, we're going to theme today's round off of movies whose stars actually dated or were married in real life.
I love it.
All right.
Beginning with a Woody Allen film. Before moving on to a younger partner, Woody Allen was in a more socially acceptable relationship with Diane Keaton. They both star alongside one another in a film about a health food store owner who is cryogenically frozen, only to wake up 200 years later in a brave new world. The film is 1973's Sleeper.
Now, Dennis, being a scholar of comedy, I would be interested in your take. And I say that with no hyperbole. I feel I love Woody Allen movies. And in the sort of serious department, I love like Crimes and Misdemeanors. That's a great film to me. And in the all out slapstick world, everyone always cites Bananas and Sleepers, but Sleeper, I should say. But I liked Take the Money and Run quite a bit, and I liked Love and Death. To me, is the best joke-for-joke Woody Allen movie. That movie is just chock-a-block with jokes.
Yes.
But what? How say you, Dennis?
Well, I agree with that. When the guy keeps showing Woody his little plot of land in Love and Death, and he's literally able to hold it in his hands.
Yes. One day, I hope to build on it. It's just many people haven't seen Love and Death, and they just should. It's just the funniest Woody Allen movie that doesn't have any poignancy to it.
I've been chipping away at Woody Allen movies over the course of my movie watching life, and I've not gotten to Love and Death yet.
Brian, you sadden me.
And then you also,
I've spoken about how that is the funniest Woody Allen movie for a decade.
The guy has 35 movies.
Start with the one the boss man says is the funniest.
What about just a novelty, like What's Up, Tiger Lily?
It's fine. You just, some of the movies don't hold up as well. Some are more slapstick sort of than they are actual funny. And Love and Death is just
That's the
funniest. So please go see that. All right, this movie, it was super kooky and super wacky, and everyone seemed to love it, but I don't know what the critics thought.
What year is it, Dawson? What year?
1973.
And Take the Money and Run, very funny.
It's the first one I ever saw.
As well. I will write, I'm going to write down my answer. God, did they love it? They love Woody Allen, right? But
This is where his sweet spot is, you know, Adam. Maybe out of the box, they think it's too rough with Take the Money and Run, or I don't mean rough joke-wise, I mean rough hewn.
Right.
Bananas, I remember maybe now he's starting to be viewed as a truly brilliant, so I'm going to, I don't know, you locked in?
I'm locked in.
I won't feel bad erring on the side of being a little high here, because this film made me laugh. I think at this point, though, he was doing jokes about the New York Teacher Union President Albert Schenker or something. I remember thinking this might be getting a little too inside New York, but I'm going to say 78.
Ooh.
78, Brian?
85.
79.
I won 88.
Sleeper is fresh at 100%.
Holy. What?
Wow.
Wow.
The critics getting any farther up his ass.
The people have it at 81, and that's probably where it should be.
Wow.
But this is him at the height.
Yeah.
And this, I think, just shows you how critics roll.
They needed Mars Ozaki shocks on the bandwagon at that point, because they were all jumping off.
What is the order, Maxipata? Take the Money and Run was before this, but when was Love and Death? And
75, Love and Death. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, okay. Let me look it up. All right, here we go. Well,
can you repeat your scores, please?
100. Across the board. Gina had 79. Dennis had 78.
85 for me.
And 88.
Everyone was shocked to find out Ben Stiller's wife was so hot. Christine Taylor and he both star in the comedy about models and a plot to assassinate a world leader with Owen Wilson and Will Ferrell. 2001's Zoolander.
Is this as funny as we thought it was at the time?
A great example of a comedy that has great moments and too much plot.
There's a very accurate description of this. It had a whole bunch of sort of quotable moments, mm-hmm. but not, it wasn't a good movie. Also, Ben Stiller has a body dysmorphic disorder, but he hides it behind comedy. It's sort of like the guy who goes for as Rambo every Halloween, right. even though it's 35 degrees outside. It's like, hey, it's my Rambo outfits. Or is it just you taking your shirt off? Like, there's so many movies where he plays the muscle-bound douchebag that there's no doubt in my mind that he has a body dysmorphic disorder. Because right. these, you could find nine movies where he had his shirt off and he's goofing on himself, so it doesn't really count. But if he wasn't goofing on himself, you'd go, oh, come on, buddy.
An unnecessary scene in Meet the Parents where instead of playing regular land volleyball, they're playing pool volleyball, so he's in his little shorts.
Even when he played
the junkie, Jerry Stahl or something, I think he was like the sort of inverted V right. water volleyball playing junkie.
Remember dodgeball? He was constantly in the singlet, you know, the workout guy. Yeah. Tropic Thunder.
Sure.
Yes, it's weird. Right, so he wants to be a male model.
The show there.
All right. This is sort of the next generation's Fletch, which is Fletch wasn't that good, but everyone remembers it as super funny if they saw it at 14. This is Zoolander, which a next generation thinks it's really funny, provided they saw it when they were between 14 and 23.
Right.
But if it came around when your sort of comedy brain cement had dried, you don't think of it as that funny. I have tried to watch it a few times and realize it's just a compilation of scenes.
Yeah.
That can be funny. All right, but
I'm taking crazy pills.
What from Zoolander? What did the critics think of this movie? Weird.
I have what I think is an insight, but I might be wrong.
All right, you're gonna play close to the vest.
Yep. You're not gonna share
about
your
the
insight?
Next 30 seconds. Yeah,
I am locked in, Dennis.
Well, I must say that, like you said, it's sort of loosely joint scenes, but when Richard Attenborough shows Jurassic Park to Laura Dern and her boyfriend for the first time and says, behold, the comedic equivalent of that is opening the door to Owen Wilson's apartment.
With Hansel?
And they're dwarfed in lederhosen and half pipes. It just makes me laugh so hard. So I do have fond memories of it, but I agree with you. I don't think critics, I think they think they'd be slumming if they went all in on this. So I'm going to say 68.
All right, Brian.
I went the other direction. There are great moments in this movie. There are a few great laughs. On top of that, I think Ben Stiller is like the anti-Will Ferrell at this point in his career. Like, the critics go out of a little over the top for Ben Stiller because he writes, he directs, Cable Guy and all that stuff. Like, he's a little more heady in his comedy, even though this is pretty silly. So I said 77.
Gina Grant.
I agree with Brian. I think people, like you said, I think people look fondly at this movie. I think that Ben Stiller gets some cool points. And I'm sticking with my sleeper number. I'm sticking with 79.
I'm going to describe it like Lynette would. Bill Burgie's jersey. Number 66.
Beautiful. I love a Burgie reference. You mean when he was with Cincinnati?
He was with Philly. When he had a full, like, nobody, you know, all the hipster guys who rock the beard now, the cool hip sure. guys who rock the beard, the metrosexual guys, Bill Burgie had a real beard from a real era in a real town and played middle linebacker when middle linebacker meant something.
Run stopper.
Yeah, he looked like Garth Hudson from the band. Remember, Ace?
Yes, it's the same beard. All right, Dawson.
Zoolander is fresh. It's 64%.
Oh, shit. I keep guessing the people score pretty much.
Now, the people have it at 80. It's funny, critically, and this is why it's fun to examine the sort of the psychology of the game. Sleeper, 81% with the audience. Zoolander, 80% with the audience. So both essentially the same score with the audience. 100% Sleeper, 64% with Zoolander. So that's a critic
yep.
thing. The movies are funny or have some laughs or a little hit and miss or a little tough mm-hmm. sometimes with the story, but the critics loved Woody Allen at that point and maybe not so mm-hmm. much with Ben at this point. All right,
can I Can I ask a question real quick?
Hold on. We're looking at a picture of Bill Burgi. He's old man.
Did Drake say they're right, Zoolander? Does anybody have the IMDb in front of them?
We'll pull up and figure out who wrote Zoolander.
Okay. I think it was written, directed by Ben Stiller.
Or wrote it.
But I mean written by, see if there's a written by Drake Sather credit. I got in the way there, but I'm just intrigued that he was an old friend.
Yeah, Drake Sather is the writer with Ben Stiller.
All right, here we go.
Our next movie stars two real life lovers, Steve Martin and Victoria Tennant. In a film about transparent robbers, decaf coffee, and skipping to meetings, 1991's L.A. Story.
Oh, my God.
Half double decaffeinated, half calf with a twist of lemon.
This movie needs a sequel.
Good for you.
Yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah. It'd be called Pile of Homeless.
That's one of my favorite jokes in this movie is when Chevy Chase walks into the restaurant, like the fancy, posh, trendy restaurant, Ivy or whatever it is, and the guy, the maitre d', and it says, "Oh, Mr. Chase, can I get your usual table?" He says, "No, I'd like a good table." It's so simple.
There's a lot of good comedy in this. It's weird because I haven't seen it in many, many years, and it doesn't make the rounds on my cable stations like it should. I would tune in and stay in. So I haven't been freshened up on this movie. Steve Martin is always a darling.
A young Sarah Jessica Parker.
Skewing Los Angeles has to be a winner.
He drives his car next door to her house to visit his friend.
This has to be a high. But how high? I mean, we did 100 on...
Yeah.
There's 100 out there. All right. Dennis Miller, how say you?
Well, I agree with you, Ace, that it would appeal to the New York intelligentsia because it excoriates L.A. to some degree, but it doesn't excoriate it to the point that it would completely lose L.A. critics who have to live there. So I think it's high, too, and I'm going to guess 88.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
92, and now I want to see this movie again all of a sudden.
Me
Gina
too.
Grant?
90.
I went 94.
Somebody's on the nose. And his name is Adam Carolla.
Yeah!
L.A. Story is fresh at 94.
I don't want to jinx it, but I'm quietly having a very strong game.
Hold on, my friend.
Quietly.
It's not quiet now.
It's not quiet anymore.
Quietly. Quietly. And it could only be jinxed.
Well, with that -5, you certainly.
Yeah, if I spoke it aloud, that would be the only way
to
jinx it.
That would be the only way to send it the wrong direction.
And speaking of Steve Martin and Victoria Tennant, was All of Me a good movie, or did I just like it as a kid? They switch the brains, and they have Lily Tomlin.
I got a little confused, and like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and all that kind of stuff. There was a little cycle there where I dropped off a little bit.
You know who's a great small part in this is Richard E. Grant, a character actor you'd all recognize, British guy. You'd for sure recognize him. He's in Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy, which I just saw. Very good movie.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
That looks great.
Audience just at 75, so this is another one of those critical darling movies. All right, here we go. Into the championship rounds.
Next up, two gorgeous human beings fell in love on the set of this film. Unfortunately, Brad's addiction to pot and his frustration with having 14 children forced them to drift apart. But that doesn't take away from the magic that was 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Have you guys seen this?
No.
Yes.
It's
good.
I love this movie.
I love this movie as well. You know, the thing
about Boston's having a hot day, by the way, Buck. I have to give kudos. These intros are delish.
Thank you.
I got to say, man, crazy. Like Angelina Jolie, those relationships start like somebody put a buffet in an open bar in a bouncy castle. Like, that's how those relationships start with crazy. You know, the best sex, the hottest.
Non-stop,
everything.
Yeah.
Everything's the hottest. And they fucking go out like a Chinese commuter bus going over a suspension bridge. Like,
soon.
That's how they go. They come in like that. They go out like that.
Yeah.
That's how crazy works.
Vince Vaughn was so great in this movie.
He was great.
What's the premise? I really don't know.
It's you want to do this or should I?
They're suburban couple. Turns out they're both spies.
Okay.
They're both assassins, but they don't know it.
Assassins.
Mm. They're married and they live a very mundane
life. So madcap adventure comedy.
Well, there's a part of it where you would go, oh, come on. Like, if someone explained the premise, but they execute the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's executed well.
Okay.
Directed by Doug Liman, whose movies I love.
Now, see, here's what I don't like. What I don't like is this movie should be squarely in the 90s.
I totally agree.
But critics are like, oh, come on, too much violence, and she's too good looking, and I'm too fat. Like, okay, don't factor those things in. Mm-hmm. Factor in, compare it to other movies of the genre, and then see how good it was.
Some great action sequences, too.
Right.
I think there was some hate reviewing going on here, though. Yeah. You got to factor that in. You're right. You remember that studio card they had of them both looking, you know, at their peaks, and people would, because some critics are going to hate it because of that.
It's sad that many other influences seem to be involved. Like, this is just a fun, kick-ass movie.
If I recall, so they fell in love on set. He was obviously with Jennifer Aniston. If I recall correctly, when it came out, the whole thing was breaking, and they were together, and the other marriage was breaking up. So I think there was some bad juju going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, so we love this movie,
and it
should just be, you know, 90-something all day long, but, you know, the critics can be haters sometimes.
It's one of those rare, smart action movies, like True Lies. You know
right,
what I mean?
Like, that was the only thing I was
it hits, it hits the bullseye.
All right, okay. I've locked in my score. Dennis?
I got to make a Hail Mary pass here, because you're running away with it to some degree. So I'm going to go Roger Maris, counterintuitively, and say 61.
Ooh.
Brian?
Yeah, I'm pretty close. I love this movie, but I know the critics didn't love it, sadly, which is stupid. I get 55.
Oh, wow. I was going off of your love, both of your love for the movie, but tempering my expectations, and said 74.
I said 79 just because I think this movie should be in the 90s, and I basically just knocked off 15 points or 20 points for critics being douches.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith is rotten at 59.
Oh!
Damn it.
And the audience at 58. What's wrong with everybody?
Idiots. All of them.
All of them.
Listen to my voice. This is a smart, fun action movie. This is everything you want.
I know. That's why critics are buried in unmarked graves.
Well, I just added 20 points onto that. Brian, what'd you do? 55? Oh, so you're right back in the hunt. This is the difficulty with this subject, which is we all know this is a very strong offering of a movie. We all know the critics weighed in how she looked in a tight black dress versus him dumping Jennifer Aniston.
There's
and
no
all
way
these
People magazine gives us a good review. You know what I mean?
Right,
after
right.
all that went down.
Right.
But you made a great point about the action and the explosions, because it says suffers from weak writing and one too many explosions.
Weak writing is
that's
incorrect. Yeah. Incorrect.
That's incorrect.
Totally
incorrect. And Vince Vaughn was super fun.
He was hilarious.
All right, here
all
we
right.
go. It's anyone's game now.
Ben Affleck has been with quite a few ladies on account of his notoriously huge hog and intellect. One of these women was the pioneer of the big ass movement, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, no.
The two starred alongside each other and Jason Biggs in a film directed by Kevin Smith, 2004's Jersey Girl.
Mm.
Now, who besides me has seen this?
Nobody.
It's in like bits and pieces. I got to tell you, Liv Tyler, at the height of her powers, that's one of the most beautiful women alive, right?
Gorgeous. From That Thing You Do, that age, oh
a
my
vision.
God.
Mm-hmm. A vision. All right.
With a mom like Steven Tyler, you can see how she got so hot.
All right. Is this a good movie? I don't think so. Now, where are we at? Are we in the 20s?
Are we in the Geely's?
Are we in the Geely's? And I think, it seems like a sweet enough movie. There's no politics involved here. There's no violence. There's no we hate Angelina Jolie. Like, this is just going to be a straight ahead. Did this movie work or didn't it work? I think people are pretty, me and Brian got to be real close. That much I know. And I think this is anyone's game at this point. So I'm going to be conservative and go. All right, I got my mark. Right. Dennis?
5.
Wow.
Bold.
Bold
indeed.
Brian?
Dennis, fortune favors the bold. Okay, a few things about this movie. This was shortly after Geely, I believe, and Jennifer Lopez is barely in this. She dies in the opening. It's kind of like Up. She dies in the opening scene or whatever, and he goes on as a single dad. It's maybe, in my opinion, I love Kevin Smith. I loved his movies at this point. I saw this in the theaters. This is maybe a 55, 60, but the critics hammered. It was just the wave was going the wrong way. Everything was going against it. Gigli had come out, Jen and Benworth, whatever they were, Jen and Benworth thing. So I went bold and said 25. They unfairly shit on this movie, I think.
This could be a Mason-Dixon thing.
Ooh.
Gina Grand?
Yeah, I really did want to know whether this came out before or after Gigli. I should have asked.
Right after.
But I don't remember it, but it had all the right people, all the right ingredients for the stew at the time. Ben, Liv, and Kevin. I said 68.
Oh, no.
I hate Kevin Smith.
Oh, no. Maybe 6.8.
Kevin Smith fucked me out of $500,000 and then lied to everybody
about
it.
Well, this was many years before that.
That's a 20-point deduction right there.
Fucking horrible. Literally fucked me out of $500,000 with a contract for $500,000 signed and then lied to everybody about it.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too.
Really? Did he fuck you out of money too? Literally fucked me out of $500,000 and then lied about it. Lied about, oh well, I guess Carolla's got a better agent than I do.
Wow.
We had this. He wanted more money. We had the same contract, Favorite Nations, all signed, everything, and just fucking lied about it because he wanted to work with somebody else. To the tune of $500,000. Okay, I don't know. Yes.
Sanskrit is not etched onto stones anymore than that memory is in your hate lobe.
Triggered.
The fucked out of 500 grand, I didn't mind the part where he lied about me being greedy. That makes him a sociopath, by the way. There's no part of this story that is not true. I will tell you exactly one day. I'll spend an hour and tell you exactly how it went down. This is exactly how it went down. 500 grand, fucked me, put it in his pocket, shot two shitty pilots, and then just went home with his 500 grand. So he's a horrible individual, but it's probably just because he's also one of these guys who wears the fucking hockey jersey around and goes, hey, poor schlubby me. So he did this whole fucking bullshit about, oh, you know, Adam's too greedy, or I wish I had his attorney. There's nothing to do with the contracts. They're both signed, 500,000, Favorite Nations, done and done. And then he went cold telepictures and said, like, he didn't want to work with me, and I fucked him, and I was rude, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
So what's your guess?
He's a horrible person. He's a horrible person. If he had a fucking shred of dignity, he'd give me $250,000 out of it, $500,000 that he pocketed. But I say 39.
All right.
Well, Ace, I hope you find respite in the fact that Jersey Girl is rotten. At 41.
Oh, that's got to feel good.
Well done.
I think that could have won it for me.
That's a big one.
Still rather have the 500K, but the win will soften my landing a little bit.
Not that anyone else can see this, but what's with the artwork that Rotten Tomatoes sometimes uses? That is a very strange couple together. Looks like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
Why don't they just use the poster from the movie? Yeah, or like George Carlin's in there staring at the ceiling.
Looks like he's having a stroke.
All right.
Well,
sorry.
Listen, just let me say, I gave it a 5 because he fucked my friend Adam.
Yeah.
There it is.
There you go.
Let us remember that Dennis Miller won the game last week. The idea of him going 2 for 2 for the past 2 weeks almost gave us hope that California could have a Republican governor. Dennis Miller, a score of 70. You really screwed yourself on that last one.
Still double.
But you're still on the podium in third place.
Oh, no.
Nice. Crap. I was in good shape going into that.
Leaving Adam, Gina, and Bald. Gina Grad with a score of 82. Get out.
Bye.
Adam Carolla, your score of 31.
That was pretty good.
Is only good enough for first place.
Yeah.
Beating Brian's 50.
Wow, a solid victory.
Yeah, I tacked on 20 on the one before this. So I thought I'd knock myself out of the.
Well, listen, Clerks just came on cable and I shot the TV out like Elvis. There you go.
Dennis Miller, everyone's got the 1 hour special that is coming out on Amazon and iTunes and all that. That's coming out this Tuesday. Tomorrow, right? That's right.
Thank you, guys. Nice to visit with you again.
And
shout out to
Dennis Miller option as well. Thanks, Dennis. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Later.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to watch LA Story.
Yeah, me too.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times!
Three times, fool!
Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils, Castrol Edge. These guys are the best. I was at their booth in SEMA. Well, it's not really SEMA. It's the hall next door to SEMA. But anyway, hung out in the Castrol booth, signed a couple of autographs, talked about the future of oil.
Ooh, sexy.
For me, it is. I'll tell you. I'll tell you the idea I had, and you guys tell me. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today with Castrol Edge. I said, look, it's full synthetic. Instead of changing the oil, when are we going to do a dialysis? When are we going to hook your car up to a pump that pumps it out, cleans it, pulls the contaminants out, whatever of it out, and then pumps it back in? It's full synthetic. They recycle oil anyway. They recycle synthetic oil anyway. The answer, if you're listening or care, is depending on where you are and what season is and all that kind of stuff or what have you, or what the grade is, about 30% of oil is additive. So if you buy a quart of oil, 70% of it is the synthetic oil, and then 30% of it is the additives they put in there. The additives would probably have to be replaced, but the oil itself could be like clean, dialysis style, Prop 8 or whatever it is style, and put back into the car, and that'd be cool. You drop your car off at a center, it just cycles it.
That's a great
idea. Cleans it and puts it back in.
They Environmentalists would love that.
Oh my God, it's exciting.
I would think. We'll get into that with Lynette.
Yeah.
There's also a new thing, which is a oil cartridge that I think like a new Aston Martin has, which is you open up the hood, you literally pull out a cartridge, which is like a small cooler that has six quarts of oil in it and a filter. And you just pull the one cartridge out and you plug in the new cartridge with the new filter and the new oil.
I could change my own oil.
Kind of interesting.
Pretty nice.
It's like a printer cartridge.
If you had a fucking Aston Martin, you could. Not your piece of shit. You got to go old school.
Okay.
You got to drop a crazy straw down the crankcase and suck it out with your ass. Anyway, but yes, you ever step up to the Aston Martin?
Sure.
Gina.
It's aspirational.
Speaking of moving on up.
Well.
Gina is moving.
Moving
laterally.
I won't tell you where her house is, like address-wise, but I'll tell you, right into the Corolla suite zone, or right around where my grandfather. Now, there's a market, the laziest market in the world.
Yeah.
There was a franchise of markets, and there are probably hundreds of them around the Southland called Vons. Mm-hmm. At some point, a super cheap lazy man bought it and renamed it John's. So all they did was pull off the V, and now the J would be brand new, and the O-N-S would be all sunblasted and faded, and you could see the black outline of where the V was. Oh, speaking of that.
The John's.
Speaking of that, Paul Bryan, I got a bone to pick with your USC Trojans.
Oh God, get in the line.
I was watching my victorious Rams.
Oh, that's right, the pain on the field
last week, and I was like, "What is it? Is it Gay Pride Month or something?" Like, there's always a different color and a different button and a different message and a different thing.
Color scheme.
There's some stuff going on in the end zone and the back of the end zone now that's some sort of peopleforhealing.com or something. Everything's like NFL's just gotten into some sort of good vibes game.
Branded,
and I kept looking at the field going, what is it? What is it? Is there a gay flag on there? What's going on?
How dare you?
They tried to paint the Rams logo. You know, it was a quick turnaround. Yeah. I guess
Saturday, Sunday.
SC played at home on Saturday, and then Rams had to play on Sunday. The 50-yard line, the ghost of SC's letters and colors were like pushing through all the Rams colors.
Omnipresent.
The Coliseum's got to invest in some gesso or something. That's the white stuff you paint on canvases before you make your masterpiece. They needed to black it out or white it out
or green it out
or do something. Usually this stuff is sort of like, I don't know, I guess dyeing your hair, bleaching it blonde, and then putting the color into it or something. They needed to figure it out.
It's quite prominent.
I kept staring at the Rams logo, and I kept going, again, everything's about, hey, these guys are wearing fuchsia cleats, and everyone's got the ribbons on, and everyone's got the buttons, and I thought, what is going on? And I kept seeing all these weird colors in the end zone, at the 50-yard line.
Robert Woods must have been so confused. And it's former USC receiver, now plays for the Rams.
They simply didn't do a good job of greening out
that. They didn't even try.
Mission.
It didn't look like he attempted to. Like, he painted right over it because the stuff you can see is quite vivid.
I'd love the story of that. I'd also love to know what's in the back of those end zones. Not the end zone, but the back of the end zone in Rams games.
It looks like there's something wrong with your TV.
Yeah. I swear to God, if you have epilepsy, you'll have a seizure.
It's like one of those sailboat things. Like, what do you see?
But yeah, relax your eyes.
The back of the end zone has some crucial catch thing with the gay flag or BMW M sticker or something. Yeah. There's something similar. Also going on.
Screening. It's some sort of screening, right? Screening test for prostate cancer or something.
All it's doing is serving to confuse this three beers fan even more. What's going on the field? I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, in the crucial catch thing, and I don't know what they're called. Do we need a color for everything, or can we just have crucial catch?
Like, yeah,
get,
really?
Get put a scope up just your ass. Up anyway, there. Gina,
hi,
is moving to a part of the land I know well because that was my supermarket.
Yeah.
when it was Vons.
You were asking some very specific questions.
It started off as Lucky's. It may have went to Vons or John's. It's now John's. It's the cheap supermarket in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. My grandfather would ride his bicycle there with his basket on it. He shopped at the supermarket every day. It had to be a European Hungarian thing. You know, here's how dinner would work. Dinner would work that you went out shopping. You went to the market, bought the ingredients for that day, rode it back. In all the years, he and my grandmother, 50 years plus, lived a couple of clicks down Magnolia on Wilkinson Street. And all those years, they never owned a washer or a dryer. He took the laundry on his... this time he walked, dragging that weird cart with the wheels on it, to the strip mall, which is a few doors away from where you are, that had the coin-op laundry. Jesus. And he would sit there and do the coin-op laundry. He would shop. He would walk back. That was his little neck of the woods. I could remember going with him a time or two to the laundry and just going, hey, old man, you're 79. Like, at what point do you break down and spring for a washer and a dryer? Like, what are you...
Yeah, that would be happening.
Are you doing?
I've never been in a John's. As somebody who's as loves being in grocery stores, that's kind of one of my happy places. Is that going to be a wild disappointment?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go to the Gelson's.
The good news is you could probably buy cactus there.
You get the Benz going from the John's to the Gelson's.
Yeah, well, I'm really into grocery stores, and I don't want to be depressed.
So also up the street, just up the street from where you're going to reside, Don Benza, saxophone player, still plays to this day, father of Nick Menza. Nick Menza was my best friend in the sixth grade, and we're friendly all through junior high and whatnot, became the drummer for Megadeth, and then died at the jazz club, the Baked Potato. We were talking about that the other day. I believe Don, still alive, still playing, and probably still lives up the street from you.
I'll bring him a muffin basket.
Remember walking up and down. Bad news for the street on Magnolia is that's where Ray's apartment was with his mom.
Oh,
Irene
historical.
And Gunther back in the day.
It's a landmark now.
Well, I'm excited for the first time in 15 years. You know, I live near Miracle Mile and blah blah blah, and I've been in the South Bay. I'm kind of excited to be a Valley girl. This is it's a good move. I'm looking forward to it.
I Max Pat, a short notice here, but I was sitting with Lynette last night. We watched a Capital One commercial, and the latest Capital One commercial features Whitney Houston. and her singing I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, determined on this very show when you were away to be a Tool tune.
Yes.
And then they have every couple, they got there's like a white and a black, there's a white guy and a black chick, and they have the lesbian couple that are eating ramen, and they're like trying, she's trying to dump it on her partner. Okay. You know, half the things they do in commercials and movies that are these loving acts are dangerous and annoying.
Aggressive.
Like the one
piping hot.
The one lesbian is drinking the ramen out of the big ceramic bowl, and the other one's pushing it at her face like, hey, bitch.
That hurts. It's hot.
But I said, wait a minute. Aren't these the guys that had the barbarians representing them?
Oh.
What's in your wallet?
Yeah.
The Visigoths?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah, like they had literally Vikings. Alec Baldwin would stand there, and all the Vikings would come running down with swords and
what's
and,
in your wallet?
And maces above their head and stuff. Now we got the lesbians at the ramen joint.
They come a long way.
And we're playing Whitney Houston. If you want to, we'll find it. But if you want to just think in the good vibes department, how I always talk about how we've taken a hard turn for good vibes, this is what's going on. And I'll drill down on this tomorrow. But
Christy's been asking about doing a commercial grade, by the way.
All right. Well,
so
we'll.
This will be one we can investigate.
Lynette was there. Lynette's going to be in a second. So we'll look for this, but we'll also get into this too. Everything has gone fucking soft, man.
And wait,
it's
I think
all soft and good vibes.
I think I can do you one better. On the way in, I swear it was for Capital One, and I'm seeing a link here, so it must have been right. I heard a commercial about no more banks that are stodgy and blah blah blah. Now introducing the Capital Cafe.
Right.
So this is all happening. Wow. They are going a totally different direction.
Lounge. All right. We'll see if we can run those down. First I'll tell you, and then we'll bring Lynette in. We'll get into all this good stuff. I'll tell you about 23andMe. As loved ones get together for this Thanksgiving, discover more about the genetic connections you share. 23andMe, ancestry, composition report. Explore where your DNA is from out of 150-plus regions worldwide. You can also find other 23andMe customers who share your DNA and ancestors. I did this.
You're identical twins.
I'll find it.
Hey, yeah. You.
Discover how much Neanderthal DNA you inherited, which is associated with traits like height. So I got that, but I don't have back hair. That's another, Neanderthal. Makes sense. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service Kits are only $49 per kit when you buy two or more. Do it with the husband and the wife. Let's figure it out. That's 50% off the regular price of $99. Order your 23andMe Ancestry Service Kit at 23andme.com/Adam. That's 23andme.com/Adam. All right. We'll see if we can find those commercials. Lynette was with me, and we'll talk to Lynette all about Corolla drinks and what it's like living with a Neanderthal.
And a Visigoth.
Good sports we'll do after part two of the show. So we'll take a quick break and be right back with my lovely bride right after this.
Spend Tuesdays with Dr. Drew.
Hey, let's suggest you listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. It comes out every Tuesday, and it is my chance to, I love doing it. It's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick, what's going on. It's a long form where we can get into material and topics that I just can't get into anywhere else. And it's a privilege to be able to spend that time really getting in deep. So please join me on the Dr. Drew podcast.
The Dr. Drew podcast, every Tuesday on Corolla Digital and Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, thanks for ruining my life. I never watch television shows anymore. I just watch the commercials in between them and get wildly upset about how fucking retarded they all are. Thanks for nothing, buddy.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I may add that using the word fucking is encouraged, but retarded is a no-fly zone today's America. My beautiful bride, Lynette Corolla, in the studio.
Who?
Hey, I'll take care of the drops here.
Hello.
Lynette does funny imitations, funny voices, beatbox, has a lot of range, but does not always share that gift with the listeners. Mm. Can you do a little beatbox for us? Mm.
How's that? Damn.
Dawson, make a loop out of that.
Come on, dude. Come on, put together 8 seconds.
I don't want to...
Anne can dance very well.
Prove it. Prove it.
Then I can do it fast.
Oh, fast. As good as any Beastie Boys ever.
Oh, shush.
All right. So, Lynette is here, of course, the podcast for Crying Out Loud, Tuesdays and Fridays on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One as well.
Speaking of the Beastie Boys, can I just say thank you to the guys at the other room in Vegas, Nathan, Joey. By the way, Nathan is the sweetest because he said when he heard Dawson's promo on our show, he had to pull the car over. He said it was like Elvis hearing his song for the first time. He grew up to Adam. He was so excited to have us. Anyway, the guy that won... did Paul Revere from the Beastie Boys.
Wow. What did he do to like spice it up? I assume he did some sort of performance or...
He just... He got the whole crowd
oh, nice.
Singing all the words to
and
it.
He won. Oh, and they knew the words.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I had a heart-to-heart with your boy walking back from the Mexican food place, and he said, Mama says she likes the Beastie Boys, but I never hear her listen to the Beastie Boys. She likes Bruce and Pearl Jam and all those good bands, but I never hear her. This is my Beastie Boy argument. Everyone says they love them. No one listens to them.
Go look in my car. I have it on my one of my TuneIn is the station.
Tell your son. All part of the I like the Beastie Boys, but I would argue circling the globe with your boy and never listening to the Beastie Boys.
I'll take a massive dump on this point.
Go.
The Beastie Boys songs are full of curse words. It would be wildly irresponsible to listen to them
Lynette
in front of a 10-year-old.
Lynette curses a blue streak in front of her kids
good
all the time.
That's just good parenting.
She cannot control her mouth in front of her kids. So that argument would be on the table if Lynette was a decent mom.
Well, I tried.
How dare you.
All right.
Actually, no curse words in Paul Revere. But anyway, I don't want shit on your point, Ryan. No. Thank you.
How does it feel?
Thank you.
All right. The Corolla Christmas Crate.
Yes.
Lynette is heading up CorollaDrinks.com, mm-hmm. and we got a deal for you. Tell us about this.
Well, we are working. So Patrick has become our marketing consultant, and he's a huge super fan. And he said, well, let's put together a Christmas crate. It's something that I would want for a big ACS fan. What would I want in it? And so they'll get all three of the Mangria bottles. Yes. And the 33 wines, the Cabernet and the Pinot. Chardonnay. And wine glass, stemless wine glasses with the Corolla etched on
nice.
It, Corolla drinks. A special edition Corolla, Adam Corolla t-shirt
Jesus.
That had a saying that Adam said once, and I took it off because he's such a super fan. He said, Adam once said, if you don't want to celebrate Christmas, go to the desert and kill yourself. So
it was
he had
probably
it. Happy
more,
holidays.
Like,
knowing me
as well as I do, I probably said, if you're one of these assholes that gets pissed off when people say Christmas
right.
or you should call it a holiday party instead of a Christmas party, if you're the people who shit on the use of Christmas,
yeah.
then go to the desert and kill yourself. You'll be happier. Your family will be happier and I'll certainly be happier.
Yeah.
But that seemed a little... edgy
it was
for
a little
t-shirt.
Much
aggressive.
Yes. Yes. So
small print.
It says something else. You can see
Felice
the box.
Fucky off. That's what it says.
Oh, it's going to have a picture of Ryan, Gina, and Adam that nobody's seen yet.
We haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
I'm happy to sign off on this.
Yeah, and signed by each of you.
Oh.
You guys are going to be signing
cool.
a lot. Yeah. A lot of postcards.
And I'm going to build some of the crates myself.
And it's going to come in a wooden crate. And a Taco Bell material book and a Mangria tote. It's got a lot of stuff.
So you get everything and more.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, $199 and $7,000 shipping.
Worth
and it'll be yours by the...
Exactly. We're eating the shipping, actually.
Oh, we are?
It's worth $300 value, but it's $199.
All right. So
wow.
You
go to stuff.
CorollaDrinks.com. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Yes.
I think I'll sign the books, too, and all that good stuff.
Mm.
So we were sitting around watching a Viking. We're watching commercials last night. We're watching TV last night, and we saw this Capital One one. And those Max Pat was able to pull it up, and he was also able to pull up. Well, tease it a second. He was also able to pull up their old campaign, and I've been screaming for years about how soft we're going and how weak and willowy everyone is, and all that. I think here's the thing. People think hard is a bad thing. Hard is a good thing. Not being compassionate is a bad thing. Not hearing other people or being generous and all those other things. But you still got to be a little tough. Mm-hmm. It'll help you a lot in terms of success in this nation. I think there's this sort of decree that soft all the way around is good. Soft all the way around is not good. You should be soft when it comes to elements of you and your family and your children, how you raise them. And then you should be hard in elements of how right. you raise your kids and elements of work and elements soft, of everything. It's not just soft wins the day.
Discipline is important.
Right. Yeah. So we will take a quickie break. We'll come right back. Lynette's hanging in, and we'll see if we can break down this commercial that we just sort of
awesome.
Coincidentally stumbled across. I also spoke last night for 20 minutes in our kitchen about donuts, cake versus raisins. She's like,
did you get cut off?
And what did I say?
What do you guys talk about? Why? Why?
Isn't there other more important things to talk about than the pillow donuts?
What kind of donuts do you prefer, Lynette?
Oh, dare I say. No, I like the old-fashioned.
Yeah. Oh, they're the best.
Yeah. Sonny likes the old-fashioned, too.
Runs in the family.
All right. We shall take ourselves a quickie break. Come right back. We'll break down the commercial right after this. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast. And you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.